The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good yawning this morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Monday, the 27th of July, 2026, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. We got lots to talk about this morning. PMH, brand new accident and emergency, experienced flooding during a little downpour yesterday. We have a number of articles related to the hospital, PMH flooding, concerns regarding leadership, staff morale, and operations at PMH PHA. There's a letter circulating. It has been signed by concerned members of staff at PMH. Also, health concerns rise as nurses demand action on mold in Rand Memorial Hospital trailers, along with an Eyewitness News PMH flooding headline. Also, fire in... Let's get the show started. First of all, we have big news. Big, huge news. It's so huge that I'm disappointed that it's not on the front page of today's papers. Because I imagine if it were a man, if it were Buddy, if it were DeAndre Ayton, if it were Kai Jones, if it were VJ Edgecombe, right? If it was Thompson, we would have had front page coverage. But it's just Jonquel. It's not just a woman. It's the type of woman, we ain't sure if she's a woman. But Jonquel Jones is a champion, right? She's had a historic, a world achievement. Nobody else, as far as I could tell with my research, I don't think anybody else in the WA has won all four MVP honors. Jonquel Jones, this weekend, was awarded the 2020 WNBA All-Star honors right after a dominant performance in Chicago. She recorded a game-high 22 points, 13 rebounds, leading her team to 129-122 victory, right, in the league's annual All-Star game. With the honor, Jones becomes the first player in WNBA history and Bahamian NBA history, right? Because ain't no Bahamian man in the NBA ever did this. So now, Jonquel Jones has won the league MVP, the WNBA Finals MVP, the Commissioner's Cup MVP, and the All-Star Game MVP. She is the best. And nobody else in the world has achieved this. And no other NBA player, because you just put the W there to say this is the women's side of the league, you know. No other NBA player has ever achieved this. Her face and story supposed to be on the front page of all the papers. Every little hinky jinky social media website purporting to be a legitimate media company, but really you just a political mouthpiece. Jonquel Jones is the only story you also. And now all I want to know is, what we naming after her? She gonna get a highway? She can get a road? She can get a, she gonna get a building? A name on a building, the honor being commensurate with how we honor those we consider national heroes? To say no, I mean, I'm so excited for Jonquel. If you pick up today's Nassau Guardian, you could see what I'm talking about. In the sports section, Jonquel is the MVP. Bahamian star completes a list of top individual awards. Don't get no better than that. Jonquel, we proud of you. We're proud of you. Some people just don't know how to display and express that pride properly. But we proud of you. Producer, let's go to the phone line. Let me get the show started. Good morning, caller. Good morning. Turn your radio down.
Hey, Ms. Green, how you doing?
I good, thank you. How you do?
Right, okay. To me, right, the building thing, that's a bad idea.
Okay.
You don't treat buildings good.
Okay.
The rubble.
Yeah.
Roads, we really done the road thing to death. I think the roads, the bridge, we can't do the bridge because we really named the bridge after someone else.
Mm-hmm. What about the old bridge? We could rename the old bridge.
The old bridge? But that big crocker need there? Oh, we can't do that.
Okay.
I have a better proposal, right?
Uh-huh.
We need a holiday in November to break the span between October and Christmas.
Yeah, that's
what if we have a day off in November in honor of?
You see, they're going to do one day. But if we call it a National Sports Hero Day, right, then every year we have a public poll to select the next athlete to be honored. We could call it a national sports something public holiday. And we honor her for the inaugural holiday, and then we select other sporting champions to be honored on that day. What about that?
That's a great idea. That's why he's the smartest one of all us, Ms. Green.
No, ma'am, but we just trying a thing. We're just trying a thing. But
have a good day now.
I agree with you. The memorial, right, the commemoration must be authentic. You can't put a name on a building you could just let crack up. You can't put a name on a road you're not going to pay any attention to. But I have an idea. I have an idea. So here's a second set of stories that I was looking at over the weekend. It's a following policy over uniform changes. Ministry announces $50 increase in uniform assistance. School renovations underway ahead of academic new year. And this one right here. Fox Foundation pledged to have a brand new gymnasium. Now, I was about to say, perhaps we could name the new R.M. Bailey Gymnasium after Jonquel Jones. Maybe we could do that, right? But then I had to ask myself, what of the pools that the Fox Foundation committed to building in a number of government schools? And a little birdie told me that the school promised to government high school, the pool promised to government high school has not been completed yet. Now, birds is eat rotten fruit. They get high. They drink fruit, eat fruit that's fermenting. It's like they drunk. They could say anything. But this little birdie wears a blue jacket. So then I thought, well, maybe not. Maybe we won't name the R.M. Bailey, the new Ian Quill Jones, because we don't know when it will be built. Good morning, caller.
Great, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How you doing?
That pool at the government high school,
mm-hmm.
that should be about 94 to 95% finished. That would be, I guarantee you, from listening to the contractor, that would be open for the new school term.
The pool.
I'm sure of that.
Yeah, but we started talking about the pool like 3 years into the old administration. I don't think it take that long to build, because it's not even a regulation size pool, you know. It's not even the competition sanction size pool, which is 50 meters.
It's a training pool. It's a teaching pool.
Yeah, it's a learn how to kick. It's a learn how to paddle pool.
Yeah.
Right? And so don't take that long to build a learn how to paddle and kick pool.
But it's never too late to continue doing the right thing. You're talking about something we can name after John Twill Jones.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We have the Kendall Isaac Gymnasium.
Mm-hmm.
I have never known of Sir Kendall Isaac playing basketball in my life. I knew he used to play tennis.
Mm-hmm.
I never yet played.
Just, if you don't mind, stick a pin. I don't want you to go anywhere. So, last week, I was putting together a number of stories and articles around cooperatives, right? Because this story about more people having to take on a side hustle is ridiculous. If you provide the proper context for the conversation, you realize that we're having like a ridiculous conversation, because the new phenomenon is not that people need a side hustle. The new phenomenon is that people is the 9-to-5 job, the idea that people in the Bahamas could survive on one single income, right, from a 9-to-5 job. In doing the research, right, what I think I read was that one of the first cooperative buildings, right, one of the first buildings constructed by a cooperative or the cooperative league was named the Kendall G. Isaacs building in that area. And so I think that's why we see the continuation of his name, I think, right? It has to do with his contributions to the labor movement in the cooperative space.
But Green, that is a sporting building with his name is on.
Now,
a lot of cooperative buildings around here we get to put his name on.
They should have built a different building to put his name on then.
That's what I'm saying.
But they take the building with his name on it and expand it.
Well, expand the gym?
The space, right? The space. What I'm saying is that his name was already on a building in that space, and
so
perhaps
they could leave his name on that building.
I listen. I don't make the decisions, you know.
I feel in you.
Yeah, I feel in you.
I could have feel bad with that gym being naming the Michael Sweetbell Thompson gym.
Mm-hmm.
Or even if you wanted to go further than that, it's a Sterling Quant gym.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody who played basketball.
So let's do this two ways, right? We inviting any sports historian or community historian, if they know, to share with us what was Kendall G.L. Isaacs's relationship or connection to sports, and if there's a specific...
I used to play tennis at one time.
All right. So maybe they took the tennis building and turned it into the basketball gym.
The tennis thing is in the back. They got to name that after him.
But
the Betty Kitty sis thing is named after a woman who swam.
It could be because he was
named after Thomas A. Robinson of track and field.
Was he a minister of sports?
Who was that?
Isaacs.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so.
But it,
but, you know, that's, yes, I don't want it, 200 people going to call it and figure out why they named the gym after him. But I don't see why a basketball, we have enough basketball legends. You think you're going to name that after Moon Markley?
Moon Markley?
I mean, people who did something in basketball.
He used to dunk on people?
No, but he coached a lot of good teams. His wife, his daughter,
I got you.
Think now is one of the coaches in the
NBA. Okay.
You know, so
Hold on. Are we talking about Yo? Coach Yo?
Yes.
Okay, she's in the NCAA.
Oh, well, something like that.
Yeah, no, she's doing spectacular. No, she's in the NCAA. Yeah. Thank you.
I got to listen, and you don't want to even can say why they need the gym after them. So I'll wait to hear.
Yeah, man. Thank you. Good. Thank you for that. And I must admit, I am not on the top of that sports history. Let's go to the next caller. Good morning, caller.
I won't tell him why they name it after that.
Please tell me.
What happened is that the money was donated. The money was donated to the PLP under the PLP administration.
Okay.
And they never built the gym.
Okay.
And when Hubert came in, Hubert explained it. All right?
Okay.
And he take the money and build the gym.
Okay.
All right? So, and because at that time, I think Isaacs recommended that Hubert lead the party. I think Hubert them name it after him because of that.
I got you.
That he was a national hero.
Okay.
And a sportsman.
I got you. Okay.
Okay.
We can note that one down.
Yeah, but Clarence A. Bain building.
Uh huh.
They break that down, and we don't have no place for road traffic.
Mm-hmm.
And road traffic make more money than any other government department.
Mm hmm. Make plenty, eh?
Yeah, and so I don't see no reason for Dr. Minnis to be breaking that down.
Well, listen,
and Rodney Bain building,
mm-hmm.
they break that down.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody would ask this question. What building the forensic lab in? And you'll find that the forensic lab today is situated in a prison. In police headquarters.
Okay.
And I know that the former national security minister
mm-hmm.
said that the police force is going to get a new lab.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm waiting to see that. I'm dying to see the new lab.
Is the new lab supposed to be in the new court complex that's going to be in town? Is it between Frederick and Charlotte or between Parliament? No, they ain't taking down the library.
I am waiting to see that because it was supposed to be done since James Carey was in charge of the lab.
I got you. Thank you, sir.
Okay, right.
Thank you. Now, listen, now I could give the charge. Everybody in this country has some information that is valuable to the country, to the whole, to the collective. See, here's what the problem is. The problem is you may not realize the value because you cannot identify to whom it benefits, right? Who the information benefits. But you don't wait to see who will receive it to give it, right? In the coming days, we're going to have a conversation about the value of information and the power of effective, coherent, and secure communication network culture. Here's a text line. When the man played sports, you can play many sports in there, not just basketball. Thank you. Text. So it's not a basketball stadium. It's a gymnasium where we're all in there too, right? Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Morning, Ms. Green. How you doing this morning?
Good, thank you. How you do?
I'm all right. I'm just tuning in. I just heard the last caller talk about the lab, right? And a quick question came to my mind.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know, is this new lab going to be fully government-run and government-owned, or is it going to be some PPP or is it going to be some subsidiary?
Outsourced to a private entity? That's a good question.
Yeah, that's what I want to know. I want to know what, because I had mentioned earlier before on another show, I'm still concerned. I want to understand why is it that the health minister said that we will, in spite of us getting this lab, right, we will still always be using labs from the state. You know what I mean? I mean, I want a comprehensive lab where we can fully depend on ourselves and don't have to be, you know, because what's the sense of getting a lab if you're still going to keep the old practices in place?
Mm-hmm.
You know, is it contractual agreements? I just want the health minister to clarify that. So someone can ask him that.
Right.
But
okay.
I want to know, is the lab going to be fully government owned, some subsidiary of some lab somewhere else, or some PPP? You know what I mean? I want to know that. Thank you, Ms. Green, for your time.
Absolutely. That ties into the conversation about the power of information, of coherent information systems, right? Because, oh man, these are some great questions. First of all, who will own the data? Who will own the information process through the lab, right? If we're doing DNA tests, do you have a lab here? Are we going to have a lab here where we have like first touch, we prepare the evidence, and then we send it off for analysis, and then they send us back the evidence and some data, and then we continue the analysis of the data that they sent back to us? Do we get the, who owns the materials? Who owns the information after testing? These are some great questions, sir. Let's go to the phone line before we go back to the text line. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Madam Erin Green. Grammy boy, back in action.
How you do? Sound good?
Well, thanks to the United States of America for a little stand. I was there. But what I really called for today, it's amazing, Ms. Green, and the population of the country. When Grammy Boy and Sister Patricia Pearl was telling the officials about Princess Margaret and his woes, what they did was they made us out to be the villains. You understand? And it's sad because we pointed out some flaws, and instead of they get to working with the flaws, they banned, basically secretively banned me from PMO
now,
and the PMH.
Mr. Johnson, let's be careful. I don't want you to say anything that may prejudice your access to vital health care in the future. Now,
I need to tell you what they did to me.
But listen,
you know.
But so let me start here. Are you saying that a number of people are stating that they feel as if their access to health care has been prejudiced or limited due to the fact that they are vocal advocates for issues that they see arising in the public health care system?
You know how we go at vehemence. If somebody tells something that may not be true about Ms. Green, then the court of public opinion could possibly look at Ms. Green with jaundice, delay coming, or whatever the case may be. And it's a very dangerous precedent to set. You understand? And it's really amazing. And all we wanted to do was point out the woes in that hospital. I guess they thought they could have put a Band-Aid on all of those woes, but you see what's happening. God is good, because everything is bracing open and everything we've been saying. You understand? We need to break that hospital down like it was condemned in 1993 by then Prime Minister Hubert Ingraham and rebuild another one. We need a brand new hospital. At that place, it's condemned.
Okay, so let me say this, right? We can't just break it down. We have to wait until the new specialty hospital is operational before we can shut PMH down for demolition and reconstruction, right?
Yes, I am agreeing with you to a certain extent.
Then we know from the public communications from the Minister of Health and from the U.S. ambassador, right? The U.S. ambassador's commentary has prompted the Minister of Health to say things like, we've actually had this conversation with the U.S. For a considerable amount of time, and we were not satisfied with the terms that they were offering, or we were not satisfied with what they say they could facilitate, and so we are opting to work with China. But what was indicated in there is that this sort of back and forth negotiation with the U.S. and their offer to facilitate, right, the construction of a new hospital, is that that has taken a number of years to do. So it could be that the same government understands the condition of PMH, right? Understands the condition, has been working towards a solution, but they were severely frustrated by a pandemic that, if not handled properly, could be detrimental to the Bahamian people as a whole.
Well, I don't know when they can get started, Ms. Green, because this is their second time, especially the minister, second time around.
Mm-hmm.
The first term, persons like myself, and especially Grammy Boy, was very extremely vocal about the woes and the leakages and you name it.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't sure I want to wait on the new one. We need a new general hospital, because I ain't planning on getting pregnant no time soon to go to the new one. You know what I mean? I don't know. And I don't know if I could turn a child again. You understand? So I don't know how feasible that one would be for people like me. You know what I mean? But we need a brand new hospital.
I hear you. Listen, let me ask you a quick question before you go. I see I have another caller on the line. The individuals who signed on to this letter, have they identified themselves in any form? Just not on the letter?
Well, you mean which letter you're talking about?
This one I saw, concerns regarding leadership, staff morale, and operations at PMH PHA.
Oh, that is all I got. They signed it because I got it from a staff. I can't say who.
I got you. No problem.
I got it.
Yeah. So I want to thank you. Thank you very much for that. The only thing I would say is that they need to organize. Like in this letter, it's there are indications of dissatisfaction with senior management. There's dissatisfaction with the nursing leadership, right? But all I could say is these individuals need to form an organization. That's the individuals may not need to be visible, but the organization needs to be formalized and visible for their engagement and advocacy to be more effective.
I totally agree with you, Ms. Green, but you see what happened to Grammy Boy? And I'm a patient. You see what happened to Aunt Pearl?
Yeah, no,
okay, then. That's why these people scared to do certain things.
Well, listen, what we do is we pray that in the moment of need, when necessary, that the staff at the hospital know how to do what they ought to do when they ought to do it. That's what we have to pray for.
Yeah, I agree for taking my call.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Producer, let's prep that next caller. That story comes after this headline: thunderstorms caused flooding at PMH accident and emergency. Yesterday, the brand new accident and emergency. Good morning.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Green.
Good morning. How you do?
First, I'd like to say I was good to hear from my schoolmate, Grammy Boy. I almost tell him I had almost to go ask Craig and his brother used to run the long distance, the tall one, about his whereabouts, because me and Naughty was concerned. But it's good to hear Grammy Boy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, but they saw the video, the footage on TikTok about the flooding, but they saying it, but I was trying to figure out if it didn't come from the roof, where did it come from?
Well, just stick a pin. So the PHA yesterday evening, PHA said that the flooding was caused by heavy rainfall, not a leaking roof. And I think they were responding to a voice note. I heard one voice note. There may have been multiple, but an individual was indicating that it wasn't just water coming up from the ground, but there was also leaking. So the PHA yesterday, there's an eyewitness news statement indicating as no, there was not a leaking, there was no leaking in the building, that all flooding was due to water access from the ground.
Wow, this is probably a drainage problem, but
well, no, I think through the, it looked like through the doors. So it looked like it came through the, it looked like it came through the front door.
Yeah, but stagnant water and that type of water is very pathogenic. It has a lot of germs in it. So
you got to get it out.
I just thought, you know, it was kind of, I thought it would be an uncomfortable for the people who were there, but I just wanted to comment on the lab capacity, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know what their capacities are, but Ben Rastad called some time ago. He was talking about these public-private partnerships in which certain medical armamentary or tools, equipments that needed, they don't have them in the hospital because other people make money from the hospital not having things like MRI and the likes, whatever, et cetera, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a conflict of interest, but I'd like to say this, right, as relates to what Grammy Boy was saying, right? I was a superstar in surgery. I've had about 7 surgeries throughout my life.
Mm-hmm.
But about one time I had a surgery and I was there and they would put the intravenous in my, you know, on top of the right hand or in the vein sometime. And so what happens is one night the nurse said she couldn't find whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I had got about 3 of them in one hand, and then subsequently, as I came out of the hospital, I have this like cyst in one of my biceps, in my right bicep. It's actually visible. If you look at me, you can see it eating. And then there's a bot surgery. But you don't have no recourse. It's like you're ignorant and nobody does anything wrong. Aaron Grant, I do upholstery. You think I don't make mistakes?
Mm-hmm.
When I use my hands, I see the same thing with doctors. The haughtiness must stop. What I'm saying is there are incidents in which, even with my last hernia surgery, you know, there's a... I didn't want to talk about it. I'm just saying maybe it do, but it relates to the lab capacity.
So let me ask... Let me just frame that out. So one of the questions we have is what recourse or what options are available for patients that are not satisfied with their care or treatment? What recourse do they have outside of the office of the patient's advocate? Do we have malpractice insurance in the country? Is there an official office that registers patient complaints? And what is the mechanism? Yeah. Are there lawyers? Hold on, let me finish. Have any lawyers identified themselves as willing to, or that they have a practice of advocating for patients dissatisfied?
Yeah, the problem is, when I went to see a doctor subsequently, I showed her, the doctor initially told me I had a serious blood clot, but I've seen a little protuberance in that area, right? The first surgery, I had one on the right and one on the left because I'm very active. You can actually see the first one went fine, but what I'm saying is, for me, it's like I don't have any recourse, but because for me, I think the doctors, they're doing their best, but they are overwhelmed because I was the last person they called for the surgery. Like, I was the last person they called, but then he told me something, but my body is saying something else, and I can actually feel that there's still a problem, but I just wanted to comment on the lab. The lab is needed because, don't forget, they want to implement marijuana and they want to implement systems where they could check the ingredients and toxicity of things coming into the country.
Mm-hmm.
So gas chromatography, mass spectrometry is not the only one. They have infrared spectroscopy or whatever, and they have other forms like, you know, nuclear magnetic resonance and all these different things. So I just want to know if they have these things in place to make people safer, and how? Why are these things so impossible? You know, many people deserve. I don't know. I don't know what we deserve.
We get the governments we deserve, just like gods. Just like God, you get the government you deserve. The question for me is, like, what's the capacity of the lab? Will our national lab be commensurate with a U.S. federal lab? Right, like a national lab, or will it only be commensurate with like a state or a city lab? Will it be commensurate with a lab in Miami or a lab in New York, or will it be commensurate with a lab in Mississippi or in Tennessee? Let's go to the phone line, and then we're going to go to the text line. Good morning, caller.
Hey, good morning, Aaron Green.
Good morning. How you do?
Not bad. How you doing?
All right.
Hey, Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
Just an open line or what?
Technically, no, it's not an open line. Right now, we're talking about
The hospital.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
tell me what you want to talk about, that accident on Blue Hill Road.
Man, I don't want to talk, but the, I don't want to talk, but the telephone number at the Treasury Department.
It ain't waking A. And none waking A.
None. I mean, you calling the? I hope somebody in the Treasury Department is listening. Six lines, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you can't get through to none of them.
Yeah.
Now, they have some serious business going on in the Bahamas Public Treasury because all of the lines listed, all they do is ring to an eternity.
Mm-hmm. You know, when I started Guardian with Lester Cox, I used to make the point. I used to call government offices and be so upset. I called the Secretary to the Cabinet, you know. I called the Secretary to the Cabinet to ask if they have a working number. Because you, every ministry and agency, they got to be accessible by the Secretary of the Cabinet, right?
Yeah.
To indicate to them that something is wrong with the phone line, to the point where everybody in the office know my name.
Yes. And the thing about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
All of these places have receptionist desk and receptionist workers to answer phone. All of these government departments and ministry, them don't work.
So another thing I pointed out was that at that time, so we're talking about 9 years ago, a little bit over that, 10 years ago, I wagered that at least half of the voicemail systems, the phone system, right, that half of the voicemail systems had never been initialized. So when you call and you transfer to somebody, and nobody picks up and you get a voice message, if it has been initialized, if you could leave a voice message, the recording doesn't tell you who you've been transferred to.
Yeah, so sad. But Aaron,
mm-hmm.
The hospital, right?
Mm-hmm.
We ever knew who was the contractor for the hospital. I hope it ain't the same contractor with the who fall off
RMLA, where the trust
right?
collapse.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hope
so too. And I hope in the contractor would build those buildings on Thompson Boulevard, right?
Uh-huh.
Those national security buildings, them and thing,
uh-huh.
right? I hope they in them because if it's any one of them.
Don't say no more. Don't say no more. The joke has written itself.
Yeah.
The joke has written itself.
Yes, sir.
First things first. You see Clarence A. Bain building? See, let me tell you all how your ineptitude, your inability to move at the pace of your own policies, and your dysfunctional governance impacts people in their heart. My mother used to work at Clarence A. Bain building, right? She used to work there. And whenever he's getting out of line, my housekeeper used to say, look here, I will pinch you so hard, your mommy will hear you crying from Clarence A. Bain building, right? That was a real place. And then I used to go, by the time she's transferred, I could go to get my driver's license and thing. It was a real place. And now it's just bush. Now that was just, it's just debris. It ain't even an empty lot. It looked like under, what the old people say, under tobacco dove, huh? It looked horrible. And it hurts. It hurts to see it in that dilapidated state. It hurts even more that, like, you get homeless people, unhoused people who have to move from the family islands to New Providence for where you can't find no to live. Every day, one of these days, I'm going to have the Contractors Association in so we could discover why it costs so much to build anything in this country. I don't think you feel the weight of it because you have more dollars than sense. Let's go to the text line. We're going to start at the beginning. It said, give her the women's hospital. Okay. The hospital is not just for women. Let's start there. We know that, right? We know that. The hospital is not just for women. But it does have a special focus on women and maternity. Maternity is really the big thing. Maternity. And I've noticed that in all of this conversation, nobody but me one, has asked the question of why. I said to anybody or out loud, why the focus on specialty maternity? Because I think there's an answer. And the answer is, if you think the PMH is in a state of horribleness, what do you think about the maternity ward? What do you think about the maternity ward? But of course, the new hospital is not just for women. And that people, I got a couple texts suggesting that, stating it plainly. Here's another text, good day, and name the old bridge, the Brave Davis Laziest Town Bridge. Name it after the PM that did nothing around. Name the blind school after Julian the caller. Listen, Julian, don't take this on. The boy say, who has no vision? The boy have plenty vision, man. The boy have plenty vision. You just don't like what he's seeing. Sometimes I don't like it either, you know, but he could see. And that's what's most important. He could see. Another text. They need to name a street in Freeport for her. They could do both. Did you realize we could do both? We could do both. But if you name anything after VJ, Buddy, Aiden, Kai, Gordon, Thompson, Clay, if you name anything after them, before you name something after Jonquil, somebody could... Next text. After that, then where will the men go to the hospital because the new one is only women and children, I understand. No! Please stop understanding what political trolls are telling you. Only a political troll could have told you that. The hospital is not just for women. There's a specialty focus on women and maternity. Good morning, Aaron. Was that GNNN that called your show just now? I've been asking for him for months because I haven't heard him. Yes, that was Granny Boy. That was GNN. Another text. The new hospital should be named the Princess Margaret Hospital. The new laboratory should also be located there. And they didn't continue the text. Miss Green, they just want to talk about flooding in A&E, but the ambulance base on University Boulevard been flooding and full of mold from last year, and they are forced to work in these conditions. Y'all thought their only problem was no ambulance? You need to see EMS working conditions. Yes, we do. Producer, take us to a break, please. When we get back from the break, I want to know, did anybody see the footage released this weekend, Sunday morning, purporting to be an accident that took place this weekend on Blue Hill Road? It was definitely an accident. I just don't have a timestamp, and I expected to see that story in today's paper, but I don't. So after the break, we're going to ask the question, is that an old video, or is the Royal Bahamas Police Force not posting traffic stories? After the break, you guys stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Now people come up here from Inagua.
Running low on summer funds? Squeeze every drop of fun out of your summer with Fidelity Personal Loan. From backyard upgrades to family getaways, Fidelity is here to help. Call 356-7764 today.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
No budget for a vacation this summer? No worries. We got you. Guardian Radio 96.9 will fly you and a guest to South Florida a lifetime. Our sweet summer escape gets you round-trip tickets on Bahamas Air. $1,000 spending cash, thanks to Percy's Island Games. Brand new luggage from Brass and Leather. 4 days and three nights at the beautiful Holiday Inn Express Plantation. Free car rental from Hertz, too. All you need is your passport. We got you covered. Enter now for the Guardian Radio 96.9 Escape. Fill out the form in today's Nassau Guardian and follow us on all social media platforms. Remember, you must be 18 or older to enter. Entry deadline August 12th, drawing August 14th. Taxes not included and certain restrictions apply.
New school year, new gear. From uniforms to laptops, a Fidelity Personal Loan can help you check every item off of your kids' school list. Jump into back-to-school season with ease. Apply for a Fidelity Personal Loan today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Hey, kids, are you ready? It's back, the Jeff Rogers Summer Basketball Camp. July 27th to 31st at the Kendall Isaacs Gym, 2 to 5 p.m. daily, and August 3rd to 8th, 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. for boys and girls from 5 to 18. Come enjoy the thrills of the big game alongside NBA legends and current superstars Michael Sweetbell Thompson, Michael Jr., Klay Thompson, Buddy Hield, Muggsy Bogues, and many others. Registration forms available now at the Seventh-day Adventist offices on Tony Williams Darling Highway. The Jeff Rogers Summer Basketball Camp. No budget for a vacation this summer? No worries. We got you, Guardian Rota, for a vacation of a lifetime. Our sweet summer escape gets you round-trip tickets on Bahamas Air. $1,000 spending cash, thanks to Percy's Island Games. Brand new luggage from Brass and Leather. 4 days and three nights at the beautiful Holiday Inn Express Plantation. Free car rental from Hertz, too. All you need is your passport. We got you covered. Enter now for the Guardian Radio 96.9 Sweet Summer Escape. Fill out the form in today's Nassau Guardian and follow us on all social media platforms. Remember, you must be 18 or older to enter. Entry deadline August 12th, drawing August 14th. Taxes not included and certain restrictions apply.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Can you see me? I might be bruised, frequently absent, depressed, and even distracted. Can you see me? I might be branded with sexualized and controlled by a person that is older than me. Can you see me? I might always have a bodyguard, fearful, and never have access to my identification card. Can you see me? I might always sound scripted or rehearsed, and I wrote this verse so that you would be able to see me. If you think someone is a victim of trafficking in persons, call police emergency contact at 919 or Crime Stoppers at 328-8477. This message is being brought to you by the Ministry of National Security.
They're both Mexican now.
Good morning. Good morning. Welcome back to On the Clock with Aaron Green. Wait, my producer be finding some remixes and some covers though. The guitar riff. That's Fred Ferguson. That's sweet. They can play that one more this week. Okay, so let's get the show started. Here's a text. Yes, the accident on Sunday was real. Evidence of it on Blue Hill Road between Ponciana and Bahama Avenue. So this weekend I saw footage of an accident, and I haven't seen anything of it outside of social media. Now, the reason why it's of interest to me, first of all, it's traffic. Second of all, it was an extremely bad traffic accident in the face of the government's new traffic campaign. Is it one life too many, or many lives too much? Or anyway, whatever it is, it's not real. It's just PR. And how do I know this? Because once again, all over the island, you can observe police checkpoints, right? Let's make this point. Roadblocks are illegal. That's why they call the roadblocks checkpoints, because checkpoints are not illegal. Good. Second of all, you have a checkpoint and you're stopping people next to an intersection, but you are not ticketing people for turning left on red, which is against the law at that intersection. Yeah? On Dowsville Street, one block, you could see the police, some sort of exercise. One block down, the people running the stop signs, they run in the stop signs like they're training for the Olympics. Then you got the police on the segways going the wrong way, on Bay Street? Why am I, as a car, having to accommodate a police Segway moving in the wrong direction on Bay Street? And while you're doing all of that, nobody is actually at the Bay Street and East Street light. All the people them doing all day is running the red light. And all the tourists doing all day is ignoring the traffic controls and obstructing traffic. So yeah, I want to be responsible and wait for a police report, a crime report, or an official story on this accident, right? Because the police was right on the scene. Police was right there. They know exactly what was happening. I don't. They knew exactly what was happening. It was horrible. It was a bad accident. There's another horrible accident that I have not seen written up anywhere. Two women in a red sports coupe or sports car, rental plates, in Cable Beach, ran into one of those roundabouts. And this is very explicit what I'm about to say. It's very explicit. One of the women had such severe damage to her face, I did not think she survived the accident. There's no reporting of it anywhere. And if there is, it's hidden like a clue to Count Dracula's treasure or something. It makes no sense. It makes no sense. So whatever is happening, Mr. Lundy, Shanta Knowles, Commissioner of Police, Sharia King, Communications Officer, whatever's happening, it don't make any sense. And then all y'all gonna do is throw this foolishness in our face, but we promoting safer roads. Create safer roads by enforcing traffic controls. Create safer roads by making the judges and the people who drive the black and white plates and the white and blue plates. Create safer roads by making police follow traffic controls and enforce them. Every day, East Hill Street is just hundreds and hundreds of dollars waiting to be collected in revenue every single day. And all y'all paying is lip service. It's not even jokey anymore. It's a mockery. It's embarrassing. Tech says, the accident I'm talking about in the red rental was in Cable Beach, Texter. It was in Cable Beach. Texter says speed kills. No. Distracted driving kills. Drunk driving kills. Disregard for the traffic controls. That's what kills. Yes, speed is a factor, without a doubt. The speed makes it unlikely an accident from happening. But this you have 1,075 people on the road every day, running stop signs in the face of oncoming traffic and dropping their speed to 7 miles an hour, and then trying to tell you you're at fault because you were speeding. I would like to go to Mars. I'm ready to go to Mars. I can try it. I want KB to let me know who flying the plane, though. So I ain't flying any old rinky-dinky plane to Mars. Because a country whose authorities refuse to acknowledge the importance of enforcing traffic controls is not a country. It's a plantation. And only slaves and slave masters live on plantations. And I ain't living there. Texter, don't tell me nothing, man. That accident happened. Anyway, Miss Green, things are never done for our best interests. All is done in the interests of powers that be. That's the end of the text line. Thank you, producer. Thank you for your patience. You guys, stay tuned. Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri is up next. Oh, and just before we go, is 1540 AM back up yet? Things while the country burning. 1540 a.m. is down. Nobody gets to travel. No politician should be allowed to leave the country until it's back up. You guys have a great day. I gotta go home. Talk to some raccoons.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.